We're going to be sharing a couple different scriptures this morning, but as we went to prayer and I was thinking about this morning and all the things that are going on with Mother's Day, if we could just take a moment to be sensitive, because you know what, there's a lot of us that are happy that we had a great mom, and we're happy that they're still with us. But sensitive is that there are some that have lost their mom, and this is a tough time. And if you don't believe it, look on Facebook about a week before Mother's Day, and you begin to see people say, "I miss mom. I wish my mom was here," and different ways that they share. So this morning I want to be sensitive to that fact, and also to this morning that as we take and we celebrate Mother's Day, that we include the ladies that have made an impact in our life. You say amen to that? Every one of us can think of someone that has made an impact in our life, someone that has invested time, money, energy to make sure that we grow up right and have the right thing. So whether this morning it was your mother, it is your mother, or it's your sister, or it's your friend, your aunt, your grandmother, a coworker, or you know, a neighbor, whatever that is, this morning I'm asking you to just reflect on those that have made a difference in your life. If you look at one of the commandments, I believe it's the fifth commandment, it says, "Honor your mother and your father so that you may live in the land the Lord your God is giving you." And God's word says that there's a blessing for honoring your mother and your father. Nowhere in that commandment says, "Honor your father and your mother because they're perfect, because they've never made any mistakes." He says that there's a blessing for honoring them because of the position that they hold. And I realize as we look at all the things that go on, you know, it used to be that there was one aunt that was dysfunctional or one grandfather that was dysfunctional. But now I believe today that we live in a day and age that it's not if we have someone that's dysfunctional or a dysfunctional family, it's who it is. Say amen to that. They're every one of us. So when I say that, the gathering together may not be your parents. It may be someone else that has stepped up to the plate and been that to you and been a part of your life. And it may be blood, and it may not be a blood part of your family. Maybe it even, in some cases, it might even be better than blood if you haven't had a great relationship with your parents. Saw the video that Josh put up there this morning, and I thought it was kind of funny because one of my favorite commercials right now, if you don't think that there's struggle going on in people's families and moms trying to raise kids, one of my favorite commercials right now is the mom where the kids are just going crazy and they're being dysfunctional and they're doing all these different things, and all of a sudden she's drinking her coffee and they're just arguing and carrying on, and she just, and as soon as she puts the coffee, they all were quiet, and as soon as she puts it down, they start up again and she puts it back. I think that's priceless. I think that is priceless, because how many been there that you just think that it's so crazy. You know, the kids at the park, I can picture mom coming unglued and going, "No, wait a minute. I'm going to enjoy this. You just be quiet for a second." I believe that my mother can see behind walls. I believe that her arm is about 25 feet long. I believe that she has like X-ray visions, hearing that is beyond, because all of the times that I thought I was getting away with something, I didn't. And here's the great thing about moms. Even if you get away with it, 40 plus years since I lived in the house, all those things that I got away from, now I'm on a guilt trip. It's like, how could I do that to her? You know what I mean? So you never really get away from all of that. And you know, I just do. I think she has these qualities. I believe Becky raising our kids had the same qualities because they weren't afraid of dad finding out. They weren't afraid of dad hearing them when they're coming up the stairs. It was mom that heard every creak of the steps. When they thought they were being slick and they knew which step was the one that creaked, they'd skip over it. And no matter what, at the top of the stairs, there she was. And when they were trying to get in. So they weren't afraid of dad. They were always afraid of mom. So what does God's word say about moms? What does God's word say about ladies that make an impact this morning? So, you know, here's my prayer. I pray that someone in your life shared their love with you. Someone in your life shared their faith in God to you. I pray that someone in your life has journeyed with you. One of my favorite things to talk about is that we journey together. We're not all on the same journey at the same spot, but we do journey with each other, going through some of the things. And just like Beloved, what Michelle was sharing, just like Beloved, you know, it's a whole lot easier if somebody comes alongside of you. So here's a couple verses I have for you this morning that really kind of tie a theme together and a thought together. 2 Timothy 1:5 says this: I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. This is the Apostle Paul talking about Timothy, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So if you see the Apostle Paul, he's invested in Timothy. He sees that Timothy's had a grandmother that loved the Lord and passed it down to her daughter, and her daughter passed it on to her child, and now Timothy is in the faith, and you see Paul is remembering this. I think of the quote that, and I share it just about every Mother's Day, because I think it just so much fits, and it goes like this: if daddy ain't happy, who cares? If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Now, that is probably the worst grammar you could ever get, but isn't it the truth? It so much is the truth. Ralph Waldo Emerson says this: men are what their mothers make them. And an old Spanish proverb, I like this, it says, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. That makes sense, don't it? You can get so much from the preacher, but you're going to get a whole lot more from mom. And there is some great portraits of mom in the Bible. And I think of the mother of Moses, who was willing to sacrifice her child to go into safety and allow someone else to raise him because she wanted the best of him. And I think of the mother of James and John that loved their boys so much. She said, Jesus, can they sit on your right side and your left side? Is there any mother that wouldn't want the best for their child? Is there any mother that wouldn't want their child to be that close with the Lord? And I realize that this is a hard time. Maybe you're here and your mom wasn't all that she should have been. Some of you here have lost your mother, and some of you have lost a child, and some of you have wayward children that you're praying for and hoping and praying that God would speak to them. And then I realized that there's mothers that are flying solo, and they're wanting God to intervene and give them the strength. And, you know, they got four eyes, two that Marty said were in the back of the head, two in the front, and they're praying, God, give me two more, because I need to know what's going on. And if you see this morning, hear this, you can only do your best. You hear me this morning? You can only do your best. You're going to make mistakes. We've all made mistakes. And your desire is to see God do something amazing. And as we look at this verse with the introduction to Timothy's grandmother and his mother, we see that a mother raised their child the right way. She marries an unbeliever, and she has a son named Timothy, and she struggles. You can see that, the interfaith going on. One's a believer, one's not. But Timothy's grandmother and them taught them the things of God. Then one day, the preacher, the Apostle Paul, comes to town and talks about Jesus and talks about a relationship with Jesus, and that Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament coming to life, and they begin to follow Jesus. I don't know how they did that without VeggieTales, and I don't know how they did that without all the tools that some of us use, but they did it. We don't know much about them. We only see in two portions of Scripture, in Acts chapter 1:6 and 2 Timothy 1:5 are the only places that these two women are named, but we know that they made an impact. We know that she was an encourager. We know that she was willing to sacrifice all. We know that she was wanting to make an impact with her children, that they had raised Timothy to love God, serve God, tried to live by examples. Moms, we want our faith to stick, don't we? We want all the things that we invest in them, in time and Scripture and love and all these other things in them. We want that to stick. We want them to know that even in the rough times, even those times where they feel like God has abandoned them, even those times where we feel and people let us down, we want at those times for our faith to stick and make a difference. And Eunice was a devout Jew before she came to Christ, and when she met Jesus, she desired to serve him with her whole heart, and she decided that you know, she was going to make this impression on her children. And I love this port because they lived in a polluted world and they had many obstacles and distractions. And we see today that for us, we have the same thing. It was because of her Jewish faith that she was able to see Jesus as the fulfillment. It was because of what she had been taught already that when Jesus began to work on her heart, she was able to make that conversion. It was Paul who remembered the faith of Timothy when he was in prison. And those times that even Paul was wondering, what difference did I make? Who did I become an encourager to? Who was I investing in? And so here's two things to remember today. It's going to be very simple. It's two things to remember. What you teach them is buried down deep in their hearts. Say amen to that. What you're investing in, even though sometimes you don't see the response, even those times where they're not paying attention, know this, that what you're teaching them goes deep down into their soul. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." How many moms have prayed that? How many dads have prayed that? Lord, I can't see it, but I know that in the dark you do your best work. God, I know that in the times that it seems so bleak, that nobody seems to be listening, nobody seems to be around, it seems like I'm doing it all by myself. God, I know your word will achieve what you want it to. I know you have a purpose for which you sent it, and it's going to be accomplished. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." All those times, the hard heart, that we think that nobody's going to ever find Jesus, or we just picture that person. Don't raise your hands. Don't raise your hands, because we all have people that we think even Jesus couldn't get to that person. And the Word of God is telling us that's the heart that He can cut through. That's the things that He can make and change people's lives. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." We like all of that except the part that says correcting. Because I can look and say, yep, that guy needs correcting. That girl needs correcting. Oh boy, Jesus, let that teaching go to that person and this person. But when it comes back and we're praying that verse and we're wanting God's word to do that, we don't like the part that says rebuking and correcting and training in our lives. But do you realize the impact that every one of us make on someone? You hear me this morning? Those people that we think aren't paying attention, they're watching. All those people that you think it's going in one ear and out the other, God is taking that to your heart and to their heart. And I want you to know you're appreciated this morning. You're appreciated by your pastor, but even more important, you're appreciated by God that sees your attempts. And even in the things that you're investing in, and it, even though they don't show it sometime or people don't act like it, the Lord sees. Your sacrifice doesn't go unnoticed by God. I love this. Persistent people please God because it's faith in action. Can you say amen to that? Persistence is faith in action. If it was that you could see everything that God was doing, you'd be past amazed. You would go past amazed to scared. Because God does these mighty things that are bigger and more comprehend than we can even grab onto. And sometimes when you feel like everything's closing in, you know, maybe this ain't your exact prayer, but you've all been there where you're praying, Lord, I have to make the bacon, cook the bacon, and clean it up. God, I got to do it all. There seems to be no one else. I want you to know that God sees that. God cares. There's an illustration of a bunch of students that were asked at college about some scriptural text, and it wasn't part of the quiz group of the Bible, but it was a quiz about the Bible. Here's some things they say. You think you got it rough? Try this. They were asked some questions, and they came back that they believed the New Testament was written by Matthew, Mark, Luther, and John. That Eve was created from an apple. That Noah's wife was Joan of Arc. And that the fifth commandment, which I shared a little earlier, is humor thy father and mother. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not admit adultery. Now let that sink in a minute. We can see that we have a ways to go, but God is intervening. God does care. God's word does accomplish. So the first thing this morning is this. Know that what you invest in and what you teach and what you believe goes deep into the ones you're investing in, whether they show it or not. At some point, you're praying that God would take what you've given and give it purpose, give it the anointing, give it his blessing, give it to remembrance to come back and steer that person towards the Lord. And the second thing is, don't give up. I often say this, don't give up. We don't know what's ahead. We don't know what God's doing. We don't know what is in the making. We only see the darkness sometimes. Don't give up. Galatians 6, 9 and 10 says, and let us not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Hold on when you're weary. Hold on when you think nobody cares. Hold on, because in due season you're going to reap what you sow. I believe this with all my heart. Heaven will be full of people you thought weren't listening. Can you say amen to that? Heaven will be full of people that you thought weren't listening, because if you don't reach them, someone else could. You don't know what seed you planted, and you don't know what seed was planted before you started planting. Heaven will have a whole lot of people that you thought weren't not listening. People who will have a testimony of the things that were done and said for their lives. And you want to be a part of that. We were called to keep on keeping on. I love that saying, keep on keeping on. When you're ready to let go, don't let go. When you're white-knuckled, don't let go. We are called to this journey, and that we need each other. If nothing else, all these small groups and the things that we do in the community, we need each other. Why? It's not that we're not busy enough. Everyone's busy, but we got to make time to journey with each other because we need each other. We can be an encouragement to each other. We need to not lose sight of the harvest. He hasn't given up on us, and we're not to give up on him. We're not to give up on those that God puts before our path because they're just because they're challenging people. 2 Corinthians 4:1 says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, and that we don't lose heart. I've said it before, every one of us are ministers. Every one of us has a ministry. God has called us somewhere to someone to be able to minister to. And I believe this morning that God gives women, a good percentage of them anyways, a gift of persistence. Amen? Persistence. Some of us guys at times call it nagging, but some of it's persistence. They won't let go. They're like the junkyard dog. Once they bite on, they're not going to let go until they get accomplished what they think. They're not willing to throw in the towel. And I believe the difference between faithful people and unfaithful people is the persistence. The unfaithful, the unpersistent people are those that as soon as difficulty comes, they're going to let go. Faithful people are determined. Faithful people are diligent. Faithful people are able to not quit when it gets tough. And I think that an oak tree is just an acorn that refused to let go. Say amen to that? When you stop and think about it, an acorn is just a corn that just refused to give up, refused to let someone else steal the light, refused to allow the nutrients to be stolen from them. You know, I haven't always been smart. Nobody say amen. I don't want to, that wasn't the spot where I was looking for an amen. But I know one thing, it's always too early to quit. Can you say amen to that? It's always too early to quit, and it's never a failure unless you quit, unless you don't learn from it. And God uses tough times and challenges to test our perseverance sometimes and to get us to where we need to be. And I read this devotional, and I won't read the whole thing to you, but it talks about it's from David Jeremiah, and David Jeremiah is talking about Chris Pratt, and if you know who he is, he's an actor, and he's professed Christ, and he shares a time where going to Hollywood, that he was trying to make it, and he was homeless for a while, and he was eating sardines and meager things. And he said one time he was out front of a liquor store. He said, I wasn't going into the liquor store, but I was out front of a liquor store, and someone came and began sharing Christ with him and changed his life. And he says, you know, you have this moment where God wants to try to get a hold of your heart. And he says, the moment that God really gets a hold of a heart is when you're eating sardines and you don't know where you're living. Or you're going through a hard time and you don't know what tomorrow will bring, and you go through discouragements that just seem to creep into your life, and you're not sure what you need to do. And my closing thought this morning is don't give up. You might be right moments from a breakthrough. You might be right there where God is going to do something amazing, and you just need to be holding on and allow yourself to be in a position to receive what God has for you. Don't give up when you feel like you're weary, and don't give up because it's been a long battle, and don't give up because you're just ready to quit. Don't give up because your harvest doesn't seem to be coming and things seem to be too hard. Don't give up on the Lord. Don't give up on what he's told you to do. And let me just end with this. It says, living by faith. This is something that I found this week. It says, living by faith in things not seen is hard. Hebrews 11:1. Jesus reminds us the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it is few. Matthew 7. And then you look at this. Remember this, he says. Above all, remember Jesus Christ, He knows your works. He understands the war that you're going through. His grace will be given at the times that you need it, and His grace is sufficient for you. Amen? Amen. You know, it's hard. It's hard to preach a Mother's Day message because of so much sensitivity, and just this morning there was two separate families that called and said, you know what, Pastor, I just cannot be here today. Mother's Day is too hard for me. Don't give up. God's got this. Say amen. God's got this. Remember that there are those that have made an impact on your life that didn't give up on you. Say amen to that. I am so thankful for those that invested in this hard guy that softened the heart. So and so don't you give up and allow those to impact you, and then don't forget that you can make an impact on someone. You're important to God. Those that He's entrusted you with are those that He wants you to share His love. And because He hasn't given up on you, we're not to give up on those that we come in contact with. Amen? Father, I thank You this morning for Your goodness. And You know my heart that Mother's Day messages are tough, because I realize there's so many hurting, so many in discouraged situations, and those that just really need Your presence and need Your anointing. Father, help us to understand that You've invested in us. We're to invest in others. The things that we invest in and the people that we invest in, Lord God, may it not return void, but accomplish all that You wanted to accomplish. This morning, I just pray for each family represented here, Lord God, that You would do something amazing, that You would restore relationships, that You would provide and give them the things that they need, that You would provide healing and encouragement and strength, all the things that on a daily basis this world wants to suck from us. I pray that You would supply for us. And we give You honor and we give You praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.